worship. I'm here to worship.
Hallelujah. I came here to worship, and he's here to fight my battles. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Victory shall be mine. Victory, victory shall be mine. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If all I got to do is praise and worship God, and he gives me the victory, I need to push forward and just give him a crazy praise. Hallelujah. Because he deserves it. He does things that I'm not able to do. Hallelujah. He's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all as I could ask or think. Have you ever tried to think it? You couldn't pray it? You couldn't get the words out of your mouth? God's able to do that. Isn't that awesome? Let's give him a hand clap of praise. I was thinking about Zechariah this week. He was a faithful man of God, and he was faithful to serve and to be in the house of God. In Luke 1 and 8, it says, one day Zacharias was serving God in the temple, for his order was on duty this week. He was just doing his thing, coming to the house of the Lord, being faithful to the house of the Lord every week. And verse 11 says, while Zechariah was in the sanctuary, an angel of the Lord appeared to him to give him a word from the Lord. It is incredible the power and the presence that we experience in this place every day. It is limitless what God is able to do when we gather together, when we get together in one mind and one accord. God laid the foundations of the earth, and he determined its dimensions. He commands the morning to appear and the sun to set. He keeps the sea within its boundaries, no matter what your situation is today or what you have to face. God is in control. Let's worship the God that is in control, that is here in this place, mighty to save, mighty to deliver, in Jesus' name.
thirst for a drink from the well. Jesus is calling. Oh, come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Leave behind your regrets and mistakes. Come to the day, there's no reason to wait. Jesus is calling. Bring your sorrows and trade them for joy. From the ashes a new life is born. Jesus is calling. Oh, come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was
Thank you. You may be seated if you'd like. I know I've told this story many, many times, but it happens often in my life. I used to remember my mom, when we'd have to do a quick stop or something, she'd fling out her hand and say, "Jesus." And I'm just like, you know, like, what, you know, what does your hand, what's your hand going to do? Like, how is it going to save me going through that windshield and in this circumstance? And, you know, now I have children and I'm finding it has nothing to do with the hand. It has everything to do with the name she's calling. Aren't you thankful to know his name? And I mean, really know his name and know that when you speak his name, things change. That when you call on his name, when I pray over my children and I ask for his hand upon them in Jesus' name, that they are protected on the bus, that they are protected at school, I am thankful to know the name and the power that's in the name. Would you sing this with us?
Jesus. no other name. I know no other name, 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 no other name. I know.
Say this at the mention of the name, there are angels bowing before him right now in the presence of his people. There are some with their wings covering their face because the presence of God is in this place. Hallelujah, hallelujah. The power and the presence of God is in this place. It is moving. Hallelujah, it is working. Hallelujah, his power. Hallelujah. I wish God would open some of our eyes and see how the angels stand at attention at the mention of his name. We would never casually conduct ourselves the same in the presence of his house in this place, ever. If we could just see one angel appear before our eyes and see the demeanor of the angel. He did not die on the cross for that angel, but he died on the cross for you. He saved to deliver you, not that angel. But that angel has a reverence. Oh. Hallelujah, Lord. May a holy fear fall on your people in this place in Jesus' name. At the mention of your name. Hallelujah. Every knee will bow and every tongue will confess, Lord. Hallelujah. We honor you in this place, Lord. We give you honor and glory, which you deserve in this place, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord. Nobody deserves a higher honor than you, Lord, in this place, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Aren't you thankful that he is here and he visits us every time we get together in his name? Let's give God a hand clap of praise. Hallelujah. We're going to ask the ushers to come at this time. Thank you, Lord, for your power and your presence in this place. Oh, Lord, I thank you, Lord, for the ability to give, Lord, here today. Lord, I pray, Lord, you bless every cheerful, faithful giver in this place. In Jesus' name, amen.
Yeah. I think you deserve another round clap of applause. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. 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 Hallelujah. 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 What a wonderful God we serve. What a wonderful God we serve. God bless you for standing. You may be seated. So good to have Kelly Atlas in service with us this morning, and also Marco Hernandez. Good of you to be in service with us this morning. God bless you for being here. It feels so good to be in the house of the Lord. Why don't you make them feel welcome? Want to make you aware of a few things by way of announcement. This week from today, this coming Sunday, is our special time. One time a year, we have what we call a church picnic. We title it Faith, Family, and Fireworks because we coincide with the City of Sandwich and their fireworks display. So this coming Sunday, a week from today, we'll have regularly scheduled services at 10 a.m. and then beginning at about 5 p.m. in the afternoon, 803 Castle Street. If you go out here, you make a left on 3rd, go two stop signs down to Castle, make a right on Castle Street, go down to 803. It's a two-story white house right before you get to a little wooded lot. That is 803 Castle Street. That is the residence of Brother and Sister Davis, and they have graciously allowed us another opportunity to have our church picnic there. The church will provide all the meat, the main course. We just need each family to bring either a side dish or a dessert and a drink, and we'll provide the ice, cups, paper plates, plasticware, napkins, all that good stuff. So other things you may want to consider bringing is a lawn chair. We will have tables and chairs there for you to sit at while you're eating and fellowship. But then we gather at the end of the evening as it gets dark. We gather towards the end of the property to watch the City of Sandwich firework display. So you may want to bring a blanket, lawn chair, insect repellent, any of that good stuff. If you have your own fireworks, you're welcome to bring them. Just don't light them off on Brother Davis's property. There's like the big hill at the end of the kind of retainage area. People from the community go out there and light up fireworks. So if you want to do that, that's fine. Just do not do those on Brother Davis's property. We'd appreciate that. And then tonight during our split sessions, men, I'll get with you and we will divvy up responsibilities and duties so that we can, you know, as I often say, many hands make light work. And so if we get many hands involved, the lighter the amount of work that needs to take place. And so we'll schedule time. We'll try to get together this coming Saturday for a setup time, just a few hours over there, making sure we've got things set up and ready to go for Sunday, the grill set up, volleyball nets, games, that sort of stuff. So we'll handle all that in the men's session tonight, make sure all that's organized and ready. And I'm sure, ladies, you can talk a little bit about the organization of all the food and that good stuff. So it goes off without a hitch. You've been doing it for so many years that it just kind of, you know, you just kind of get there and go through the routine, if you will. But this is a great time to invite family and friends to come out and have a good time together with us. We'll post it on social media and some other things, just making sure people know that they are welcome to come and fellowship with us and have a good time together with us. And we're looking forward to that again happening a week from this Sunday. Other events happening, we have some young people, well, they're, you know, children going to kids camp this week. And so two of mine and Sister Sadie is also, they're going to be going to a kids camp this week. And so I know that they would covet your prayers. And pray for Sister Rose and Celeste as they are going as well to help and take them down and be a part of the camps with them. So we're looking forward to that. Other events, family camp happening in July. We try to scroll the announcements on the screen in between our two sessions this morning. And so hopefully you're being made aware of what's going on and what's happening. Why don't you stand to your feet? You have your Bibles, and you'd be so kind. Jeremiah chapter number 17. Jeremiah 70. Thank you, Brother Kreger, for a good word this morning during our Sunday school session. Jeremiah chapter number 17. As you're turning there, I couldn't help but think about the contrast between these two Old Testament prophets. By two, I mean Jonah Brother Gregor spoke about in the first session in Jeremiah, who I will reference here in just a few minutes. And I thought about it. Jeremiah was known, or is known, as the weeping prophet, one who continually, with compassion and love and care for the people, went to them time and time again, tried to turn their heart towards God, tried to turn them away from idolatry, tried to help them, had a love, had a desire to see the people of God abstain from idol worship and turn to the one true God. And then in stark contrast, you have Jonah, who, best we can tell, had no desire for the people of Nineveh. Didn't really care if they repented or not. Went with a very simple message. What we read this morning, seems though he walked for a whole day in Nineveh without saying anything. And then began to preach, and his simple sermon was, yea, 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. And then you have Jeremiah, who for years besought the people to turn their heart to God, put away their idols, turn back to the one true God. He stood before kings, and even if you read the book of Jeremiah, you will find that he went up against other prophets trying to convince the people to turn towards God, and they never did so. They ended up in judgment, where the people of Nineveh repented and God withdrew from them what he had intended to do. Jeremiah preached and preached and preached and preached. The people never repented. They did not turn back to God, and so God turned them over to the Babylonians. For years they were held in Babylonian captivity. As I begin to think about that, and I begin to think about in reference to people, there are people who, much like the Ninevites, don't know the right hand from the left. Wondering, they're confused, they're trying all sorts of things to feel satisfied. A preacher steps into their life at one time and tells them about God, and repentance happens. And that's why the Bible says, listen, the people of this generation, the men of Nineveh, will stand before you, because they repented at the preaching of Jonah. Can't help but think that there will be those on Judgment Day that will have to stand, some from the era of Jonah, Ninevites, and others from the era of Jeremiah. And those in Jeremiah's era will have no excuse for why they did not turn to God. Jeremiah 17, verses 13 and 14. O Lord, the hope of Israel, all that forsake thee shall be ashamed. They that depart from me shall be written in the earth, because they have forsaken the Lord, the fountain of living waters. Heal me, O Lord, and I shall be healed. Save me, and I shall be saved, for thou art my praise. For thou art my praise. Help the Lord, I want to preach to you upon this subject. He is my praise. He is my praise. Lord Jesus, we love you. God, I thank you for every heart that's gathered here this morning, Lord. For those here hurting, Lord, I pray that you'd heal, that you'd raise them, you would strengthen them, they would feel your loving touch, God. For those, God, who may be confused, perplexed about life and its issues, Lord, let them know that you're here with answers to help them, God, to lead them in the way that is right, God, to give them strength and courage to face the day before them. Lord, I thank you that I have opportunity to know you and to serve you, Lord, for you are my praise. God, help me, God, to live my life in such a way that it sings your praise, that it shows the world how absolutely enthralled I am with you, God, and your work in my life, and how I see all the blessings that surround me and understand it as a result, God, of my obedience to you, God, allowing your work to take place. How we love you, Jesus, how we praise you and honor you, God. We bless your precious name. Be with us here this morning, God. Strengthen and encourage us. In Jesus' precious name we pray. And everybody said amen. God bless you. You may be seated. He is my praise. If you read through the book of Jeremiah, you will find that Jeremiah is continually preaching to people who stubbornly refuse to repent of their evil ways and turn to God. They continue in their backsliding and they separate themselves from this weird prophet who continually warns them about what they are doing. Jeremiah, we understand, is called by God to preach unto the people, to tell them the error of their ways, to let them know that they need to turn back to God. They need to turn away from the idols that they are worshiping. They are setting up idols. They are worshiping. They are erecting temples to gods who are no gods at all. They are even going as far as to sacrifice their own children in worship to these idols. Oh, how it must grieve the heart of Jeremiah, the prophet, as he tries to turn the heart of the people. He tries to get them to listen. He tries to get them to see. He performs object lessons. He does weird stuff. He goes out of his way trying to convince these people that the way that they are going is wrong. I think that we have somewhat of a kinship to Jeremiah in this day and age as we as believers, as people of God, attempt to look at society and tell society change needs to happen. You need to turn to God. You need to forsake your ways that you think are going to bring you fulfillment and satisfaction, and you need to turn to God. And how disappointing it is that time and time again, much like the prophet Jeremiah, we are rejected. We are seen as weird and crazy. As Bible believers who take this archaic book and we pattern our lives or endeavor to pattern our lives in such a way that's not popular anymore. So I begin to think, Jeremiah, how did you do it? How did you preach all those years? How did you spend so much time? And there were moments of his humanity that you see in Jeremiah. There are moments when he determines, I'm not going to say anything anymore. I've tried. Attempted to turn them to you, God, but they won't hear you. They won't listen to you. I try to let them know that the way they're going leads to destruction and captivity is what is in front of them if they don't change, but they won't change. He's openly mocked and ridiculed. He's brought before kings and priests. He even has to go against the religious people of the day. The priests who are not turning the people to God, but are turning the people for their own profit. Jeremiah is up against all this. And I thought to myself, Jeremiah, how did you do it? How did you face the ridicule? How do you're beaten, you're placed in stocks, you're sunk in a deep cistern, and you're just left there to starve, and you experience all these atrocities against you, and you have all these indignities that are visited upon you by these people, and yet you still come back. And I tried not to say anything. I tried to hold it in, but it was like fire shut up in my bones. I couldn't. I had to let it out. I had to tell them. I had to warn them about what they were doing and the way that they were going. How, Jeremiah, how did you stay the course? How did you not just give up and throw in the towel? How after time, you were devalued by people and your opinion and what you said didn't matter and you saw that they heeded none of your warnings. How did you hold steadfast in the midst of it all? And I think it's found in that last phrase of where I was reading. For thou art my praise. In other words, my fulfillment doesn't come from them. My satisfaction or my self-worth doesn't come from their opinion of me or how they think of me or whether or not they accept me or whether they reject me. All that doesn't really pertain to me. I don't hold in high value or high esteem, for thou art my praise, God. It is what you want that matters most to me. And could it be for us in this day and age that we could be like Jeremiah when we're ridiculed and we're mocked and we're seen as old-fashioned and archaic in the way we do things in the Bible that we believe? Can we hold steadfast like Jeremiah and say, Lord, I'm not really looking for their praise. I'm not really looking for their affection. I'm really not looking for them to approve of me. What I'm looking for is for you, Lord, for thou art my praise. You are the reason why I do what I do. There's a key found in the very first phrase, if you will, in verse number 13. O Lord, the hope of Israel. Jeremiah is acknowledging, Lord, you're the only hope for this situation. You are the only way this thing is going to turn around. You are the only way that the people are going to turn away from idolatry. You're the only way that judgment is not going to come. They've got to turn to you. Might I say it this way, that it would mean something to you and I and directly correlate to you and to me. Oh Lord, the hope of the United States of America. Oh Lord, you are truly the only hope. Wednesday nights we've been talking about saving truth. We've been talking about in this world that we live in, this culture of confusion, clarity, and freedom that comes by following the Word of God. We realize this book is not old-fashioned. This book is not just some great literary work. This book is eternal, and this book is applicable to everyday life. I need the words therein. They are life. They guide me, they give me the area that I need to walk, and they show me the way that I should take. I need the Word of God. You need the Word of God. This world needs the Word of God. Oh Lord, you are the hope of Israel. You are the hope of this world. Is my praise, because I recognize that without Him, I have nothing. For without Him, I would be nothing, for without Him, I'd surely fail. I've got to have Him in my life. My hope is in Him. Psalmist said it this way in Psalm 130, let Israel hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is mercy, and with Him is plenteous redemption, and He shall redeem Israel from all his iniquities. Oh. I pray that that is true. I pray that let all of this world hope in the Lord. Let them realize that only with Him there is mercy and there is plenteous redemption. That through Him there is redemption from all iniquity. And then He goes on to say this, all that forsake Thee shall be ashamed. Now, understand this, there is coming a day when all those that did not believe will be ashamed of their decision. I take no glory in that. I in no way, shape, or form find fond feelings in that statement, but I do realize that one day every knee shall bow and every tongue shall proclaim. In one day, those who did not believe will be ashamed of their unbelief. Right now, many of them think it's shameful to study this word. So right now, many of them think, well, why would I do that? I would be ashamed to go to church all the time. And that's just not something that I would be proud to do. Think about this. One of these days, they're going to be ashamed. They're going to be ashamed at all those times they could have been in His house worshiping and lifting Him up and magnifying, but they chose to do something else. They're going to be ashamed of their decision. I wanted to be like what you said this morning when you quoted from Romans, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. I want to choose Him now. I want to bow on my knee now. I want to recognize, oh Lord, Thou art my praise now. I acknowledge my need for You, and I'm not ashamed of it. I'm not ashamed to stand before you people and tell you that without Him I would be nothing. I am not ashamed in any way, shape, or form to tell you that I would be a mess but for God. I'm thankful. I would have no hope. I would not have a good outlook on life. I wouldn't have the blessings that I have. I wouldn't have the family that I have. I wouldn't have all the good things that surround my life if it were not for God. And I'm so thankful. Lord, Thou art my praise. You're the reason why I have what I have. You're the reason why I realize I'm a blessed individual. Lord, Thou art my praise. Here's the thing. if I continue to make him my praise, if I continue to hold his approval in the highest regard, then guess what? I won't have to worry about forsaking him. I won't have to worry about turning aside. I won't have to worry about other people and their opinions mattering more to me. I won't seek the praises of men more than the praises of God. If he remains my praise, and I realize in him do I live and do I move and do I have my being, and then without him I can do nothing, but with him all things are possible, then I don't have to worry about forsaking. I can just keep on keeping on. And he makes a statement. He says, they that depart from me shall be written in the earth because they have forsaken the Lord, the fountain of living waters. In other words, their memories will be fading. Other than a few other people mentioned in the Word of God, we don't know much about others that were there in the time of Jeremiah. But we know a lot about his life. And on this day, on this Sunday, June 24, 2018, there's a preacher walking to a pulpit who was once again remembering the name Jeremiah and talking about this great prophet, where the others, their names are written in the earth. They're forgotten. They don't even know who they are. But we know of Jeremiah. Why? Because he said, Lord, thou art my praise. I'm not going to forsake you. And we remember him to this day. And there's a painting right now in the Sistine Chapel which marks his life. I realize it's just an artist's representation, but understand this. Jeremiah is remembered. Why? While the others are forgotten. Lord, thou art my praise. And then he says this, heal me, O Lord, and I shall be healed. See, the first part of that is a recognition that I'm sick. Heal me, and I will be healed. What this world needs to recognize, not in a condemning, condescending way, what this world needs to recognize is that you're sick. You're sick. Sin has invaded your body. It's a disease from which you were suffering. And you're sick. But there is healing available. There is someone who took upon his back the stripes that you may be healed. We need to understand there is true healing in Jesus Christ. We look at a society who is continually trying to deal with the symptoms. They're trying to medicate. They're trying to give psychiatric help. They're dealing with the symptoms, and while it may appease for a while, and while it may stop some behaviors for a while, we recognize the only true healing comes from God. Heal me, O Lord, and I will be healed. There is no such thing as complete healing without God. Heal me, O Lord, and I will be healed. But I have to recognize that I'm sick. And often people do not recognize the severity of their spiritual sickness. They don't recognize how desperately in need they are. Well, they can recognize a natural sickness. Or they can recognize a bodily ailment. Or they can recognize a fever. There's symptoms in the natural that they can recognize when they're physically sick. But oh God, let them realize that there are symptoms also when someone is spiritually sick. And heal me, O Lord, and I shall be healed. And then he says this, save me, and I shall be saved. As is the case with sickness, so is the case with salvation. I need thee, oh, I need thee every hour. I need thee. I need you, God, not only to save me, but to keep saving me. And to ultimately save me for all eternity. I
recognize, just like I recognize my sickness, just like I recognize, Lord, that there's times in my life when I'm spiritually sick because I'm not doing what I should be doing, Lord. There's also times I recognize I need Thee every hour. I need Your hand guiding my life. I need You leading me, Lord, for Thou art my praise. You're the one that I must turn to. You're the one that I must lean upon. I need You, Jesus. Saddens me to think we live in a society where many of them really see no need for salvation. They think they're okay and all is well. And I don't need that God stuff. I don't need to read the Word. I don't need to pray. I don't need to go to church. I don't need all those things. Oh, I know I need them. The more I search and the more I study and the more I pray and the more I read, the more that recognition increases. The more I realize how much I need Him. You say, well, it's only for the weak. Well, in some sense, you're right, because it's the weak who recognize. They that behold need not a physician, but they that are sick. And the reality is there are a lot of people who think they are whole and they do not recognize, oh, they have need for the great physician. They have need for one who would save them. Save me, O Lord, and I will be saved, for Thou art my praise. Lord, You're the hope. You're the reason. Jeremiah, how did you stay the course? How did you continue to preach in a backsliding world? How did you continue to stay the course in a society that would not see their sickness nor recognize their need for salvation? How did you do it, Jeremiah? Well, really, the same way you and I are going to be able to do it. Recognition that He is my praise. He's the one I must turn to. He's the one that has the answers to the questions. He's the one. He's the peace that passes all understanding. He is the comforter. It is His power and His Spirit which will empower me to live a life that is pleasing to Him amidst a sin-sick world. I'm closing. You can stand to your feet. So it's right that we come together and we clap. It's right that we come together and we lift our voice. It's right that we come together and we lift our hands and we acknowledge our surrender to the one who can heal and the one who can save and the one who is the only hope for each and every one of us. It's right. Every praise is to our God. Every word of worship. It's right that we come and we lift our voice. It's right that we come and we gather around the altar as signifying our sacrifice and saying, Lord, I give myself to You. I give my praise. I know we use the analogy a lot, but it saddens me to see stadiums filled with people. I don't know if you've witnessed any of the World Cup matches here recently, but thousands upon thousands of people will travel across countries. Come all the way from the southern tip of South America, all the way to Russia, to wear their team colors and to wave their banners and shake the jugs and just do all the crazy stuff. What they're symbolically saying is that soccer, what they would call football, is their praise. So it gives them meaning and fulfillment to wear their team colors. And I'm not against all that kind of stuff. What I do recognize is if ever there should be a stadium full with voices shouting, as it is in heaven, so upon your right, brother, right now in the portals of glory, there are angels. And if there, understand this, if they are as the stars of heaven and there are trillions of stars in the heavens, and at least 2/3 of the angels according to the Bible remain because 1/3 fell, that means multiple trillions of angels. Guess what? They're doing in heaven what we should be doing on earth. He didn't die for one of them. But he died for you and me. Lord, thou art my praise. If ever there was someone worthy and deserving of a stadium full of people waving their hands, shouting, it's him. Lord, thou art my praise. And so I'm sorry if it offends you, but please understand it's the overflow of a forgiven soul. It's the understanding that he heals me and he saves me. And so he is my praise. And so I will clap my hands and I will lift my voice. And maybe I rock a little bit. And maybe I get a little boisterous and I get a little loud. But you need to understand he's the one who saves me. He's the one who heals me. He's the one that provides for me. So every praise is to our God. Every word of worship, I'm going to lift my hands. I'm going to lift my voice. I'm going to join the angels. As it is in heaven, so be it upon the earth. I'm going to sing. I'm going to praise because thou art my praise, O God. Worship in one accord. Every praise is to our God. Sing hallelujah to our God. Glory hallelujah is to our God. Every praise is to our God. Every word of worship in one accord. Every praise.
Has he healed you? Has he saved you? Why don't you praise him? Thou art my praise, O God. Thou art my praise.
Every praise is to our God. Every word of worship in one accord. Every praise is to our God. To our God, every praise is to our God. Every praise is to our God. Every word of worship in one accord.
I lift my hands, I lift my voice because you're worthy of praise.
Every praise is to our God.
Let the devil know thou art my praise, O God. I'm not ashamed of you. I will not turn from you. I will turn to you.
Every praise is to our God. Sing hallelujah to our God. Glory hallelujah is to our God. Every praise, every praise. Savior.
thank you, Jesus. We praise you, Lord. We acknowledge your greatness. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
He's God my Savior. He's God my healer. He's God my deliverer. So I'm not ashamed to lift my voice. I'm not ashamed to show my life, my conversation, my lifestyle. I'm not afraid to show, Lord, thou art my praise. You're the reason why I do what I do. Jesus, we're thankful for your word. Thankful for this group of people gathered together today. Once again, be reminded of how great you are. Oh, that this world see the error of its ways. Turn to you before that fateful day when every knee will bow and every tongue will confess. And they will be ashamed that they never acknowledged you. Ashamed that they did not make you their praise. Lord, help me to be a part of the number of the saints who in this life acknowledge thou art my praise. Go with us from this place this day. Your hand of protection and strength upon us. Gather together this evening for our split sessions together. We love you, we praise you, we thank you. In Jesus' precious name we pray. God bless you for being in the house of the Lord this morning. You may go in Jesus' precious name.